This is the Brain, and you're listening to the GeekCast Radio Network. Yes!
I'm the network censor, and I object to the previous scene. It's too scary. Change it now.
Fine. Here's my very own story again. Only now everything interesting is gone. Are you happy?
Yes.
I'll bet you're real happy.
I am.
This is boring and dumb.
I don't care. I like it.
Okay. Oh, look, there's the Freakazoid sign. It's not like we haven't seen that before. And check out those bricks. Wow, what a showstopper.
Why don't you grow up?
Why don't you make me?
Go eat a melon.
Go censor your head.
Be quiet. Now introduce this week's episode or you're fired.
And now, another nice Freakazoid episode.
Beyond good, beyond evil, beyond your wildest imagination.
Freakazoid!
All right, Steph, what poor guy you're tormenting tonight?
I am... the Booger Beast.
Right. I quit. You win. Kleenex!
My hero.
Super Kleenex Tournament. Freakazoids, Freakazoids. Runs around in underwear. Freakazoids, Freakazoids. Rescues Washington, D.C. Freakazoids, Freakazoids. And I'm something that is on TV. Freakazoids, Freakazoids. His brain's overloading. It has a chocolate coating. Textbook case for Sigmund Freud. Freakazoids, Freakazoids.
Check out Dexter Dennis. Your computer ace, went surfing on the internet and was dashed to cyberspace. He turned into the Freakazoid, strong and super quick. He drives the villains crazy, cause he's a lunatic.
His home base is a Freakaland. Freakazoid, Freakazine, toy the bar and cuts his head. Freakazoid, chimpanzee, rides around in a Freakaland. Freakazoid, Freakazoo, hopes to make a movie game. Freakame, Freakayoo, he stands to save the nation. So stay tuned to the station. If not moving unemployed, Freakazoid, Freakazoid.
Hello and welcome to Tooncast Beyond. I am one of your hosts, Steve, Joe, and Mike, and joining me is Steve Megatron. Hello.
Hello.
Today we are going to be taking a trip back in time as we hop in the DeLorean and arrive in 1995 as we are both freaking out over Freakazoid.
Yes.
Oh god, I was watching clips of this on YouTube and...
I had the DVDs.
I wish I had the DVDs, but I was... God, I remember when this show aired. Oh, my God. So a quick overview and history lesson. We're not going to read all of this, but just to give you guys a overall feel for what Freakazoid is, which is an American animated television series created by Steven Spielberg, Bruce Timm, and Paul Dini for the kids' WB programming block, the WB, of the WB. The series chronicles the adventure and title character Freakazoid, a manic, insane superhero that battles with an army of supervillains. The show also features many episodes of adventures with other bizarre superheroes. The show was produced by Amblin Entertainment and Warner Brothers Animation. The cartoon was the third animated series to be produced by the collaboration of Steven Spielberg and Warner Brothers Animation during the animation renaissance of the late 1980s and early 1990s. Bruce Timm, best known for his major principal DC Animated Universe, originally intended it to be a straightforward superhero action adventure cartoon with comic overtones, but executive producer Steven Spielberg asked series producer and writer Tom Ruger and the Animaniacs team to turn Freakazoid into a flat-out comedy. The show is similar to fellow Ruger-led programs such as Animaniacs, and the humor is unique in its inclusions of slapstick, fourth-wall firings, parody, surreal humor, and pop culture references. It was ranked on that crappy NGI list at number 53 of their top 100 animated series list. I don't even know if it made the GCRN list.
I believe it did.
Yeah, I'd have to go back and look.
I'd have to go back and look as well, yeah. Which I might do while we're continuing our chat.
My general memories of this show was like... back in the 90s, for me, growing up, like, this came out in, what, 95, yeah. I was 15, I was into superhero stuff, but this, to me, as a 15-year-old, was too off the wall. It's not very often that I like a lot of off-the-wall comedy. I mean, you know, car crashes and, you know, funny superhero cartoons, that's all well and good, but I don't know, this to me had a kind of a animated Beakman's World kind of feel to it with how crazy the character of Freakazoid was. I'm not saying it's a bad thing, but I don't remember if I've maybe seen, as a kid, I probably saw 2.5 episodes of this show.
Well, you obviously didn't get the right impression because it's not at all like Beakman's right. World. And as for our top 100, it was number 57.
Oh!
So
Dan had it 4 places higher. And don't misunderstand me here. I'm not saying that I dislike the show now. I'm saying that back then, it wasn't... Not only I don't think wasn't on my radar, none of those shows, like even Animaniacs back then, I didn't start appreciating or finding my love for Animaniacs until it was off the air. I don't know, I had a fucked up childhood.
I grew up on these shows. I used to watch this. I used to look forward to watching this late at night. So this was definitely one of those shows that I liked watching.
What other memories do you have of it?
Well, besides the parodies and having Ricardo Montalban in the show, yeah. I just like the fact that it was the internet and he turned into a superhero by hitting a random, which seemed like random, select set of keys, which they decode later. Yes. But yeah, I mean, there were some points that were a little annoying, but I liked, Cosgrove and Freakazoid whenever they got together, and then you know, you had the Loeb, which was Raish.
Oh, David Warner. Yeah.
Yes. So I mean,
that sounds so. Well, it was called the Loeb, right? Okay. Yeah. So
Yep. And then you had Cosgrove, which was Ed Asner.
Oh, sweet.
So awesome. it was, and he looked kind of like Ed Asner, so that was kind of nice. So the show overall was, I liked the characters, those three primarily.
Awesome. We would be advertising the Behind the Voice Actors listing for Freakazoid. However, the page is incomplete, damn it. So, going through the characters from Wikipedia, you have Freakazoid, voiced by Paul Rugg. The protagonist of the series, he was once geeky 16-year-old Dexter Douglas, voiced by David Oh, wow. You got Jimmy Olsen from Superman the Animated Series voices the Dexter character. Wow. Holy crap, that's awesome. Who became Freakazoid from overloaded Pinnacle chip inside his computer. He attends Harry Connick High School. To transform into Freakazoid, Dexter quotes that he is freaking out. To change back to Dexter, Freakazoid quotes that he is freaking in. Freaking out, I liked. Freaking in was kind of weird, I thought. That was... I don't know. I mean, it's kind of like, you know, if Captain Marvel said something else besides Shazam... I don't know. What are your thoughts on the essentially there are two characters. What are your thoughts on Freakazoid and Dexter Douglas?
Well, first of all, I was going to mention they do have a pretty decent chunk of list on Behind the Voice Actors.
Mm.
I went to it just now, which primarily is a Frank Welker fest.
Yeah.
Ooh, Pinky and the Brain are in it.
Yeah.
Dexter Douglas and Freakazoid, I could not stand the character of Dexter Douglas.
Really?
He bothered me. there was something about the portrayal of the character. It annoyed me more than anything else. And I more so loved the Freakazoid persona.
Mm. All right, moving on to the Douglas family, you have Duncan Douglas, who is Dexter's older brother. He was voiced by Goggy Gress. He is a bully towards Dexter and is portrayed as a character of the high school jock. You have Debbie Douglas, who is Dexter's mother, voiced by Tress MacNeille. Douglas Douglas. Oh, God. Seriously? They're pulling a DC here. And what I mean by that is, you know how we always say DC Comics?
Yes.
The DC for DC Comics stands for Detective Comics. So it's like Detective Comics Comics.
Nice.
That
sounds like a bad rap song.
I know, it does.
Detective Comics Comics.
Yeah. Douglas Douglas is voiced by John P. McCann, who is Dexter's dad. And Mr. Chubkins, or Chubbykins, voiced by the great Frank Welker. Morbidly obese cat.
It was funny, though. I liked Foamy the Freak-a-Dog better.
Foamy the Freak-a-Dog. Oh, wow.
Yes, that was another Frank Welker, but it was like Freakazoid, except it was like a blue dog.
So it's essentially...
And he was foaming. He was like rabid.
Yeah. So it's essentially Milo from The Mask.
After he had the mask on, yes.
After he had the mask on, yeah.
Essentially.
That's awesome. Do you have a favorite character out of the Douglas family besides Freakazoid?
No.
Really? You didn't like any of the family members?
I hated his family.
Really?
Yes.
Wow. Okay, feeling the hate over here. As far as Dexter / Freakazoid's allies, you have Sergeant Mike Cosgrove, voiced by Ed Asner, heavyset gruff cop with a heart of gold, who is friends with Freakazoid and several other characters. By pointing at something and saying, cut it out, he has the almost supernatural ability to get people to stop whatever they are doing on command.
I know, that was hilarious.
That's funny. Holy shit. Craig Ferguson? Wow.
Yes, he played Roddy McStew, which was like the almost mentor of Freakazoid. It was hilarious to listen to him, though.
Okay, it's official. Anybody want to donate the Freakazoid DVDs to me? Email me, tfjewandmike@gmail.com.
Oh, it is so good, though, dude.
Like, I've only seen clips on YouTube in preparation for this because I didn't, like, I don't have the extra cash to buy it on iTunes or anything like
that. It's pretty cheap, actually. I bought the first season only so far, but it only cost me like $10 on Amazon.
Other characters are Steph and Hans. Steph is voiced by Tracy Rowe. Hans is voiced by Larry Cedar. Ed Gilbert voices Professor Heine. Oh, boy. Would Professor Heine be anything like Beekman?
He more so reminds me of the the guy off DuckTales.
Professor Von Drake. That's what it is.
Yes.
Von Drake, yeah.
Yes. And then you have Professor Jones, which is Jonathan Harris from Lost in Space.
Oh my God.
It was and he played it basically just like that.
Oh my God.
But we can't forget many other notable characters like Pinky and the Brain.
Yes.
You have our narrator, or Joe Lay.
Yeah.
He was also as himself. You have Mark Hamill playing himself. You have Leonard Maltin playing himself.
That's so awesome.
You have
Henry Kissinger, voiced by Maurice LaMarche.
Yes, and you have Steven Spielberg, played by Frank Welker.
Oh, my God.
You have Cave Guy, which is played by Jeff Bennett, but sounds like... Cameron off Ferris Bueller.
He's actually impersonating Jim Backus. I don't know. I never.
But it sounds it. The voice sounds more like that. And then of course the Loeb is the incredible David Warner.
Yeah.
Some other notable villains. Anyway, you've got Cobra Queen, which is Tress MacNeille. You've got. Armando Gutierrez, which is Ricardo Montalban.
Wow.
You got Dr. Mystico, which is Tim Curry.
Yes. You know,
There's so many. There's so many good characters, and then I know that behind the voice actors is missing some.
Yeah.
There's. I mean, it pretty much touches on the bigger ones in this one, but I loved all of the different. And every character had a complete polar opposite of another character. So, I mean, there was not one that was anything like any other character. You even had as far as going with, there was a character called Fanboy.
Yep.
Which is this overweight, like, nerdy guy that just sits there and is like, oh my god, it's Freakazoid!
They also had a bunch of mini-segments. Freakazoid also featured several mini-segments, primarily during the first season. Each of these have their own theme songs, title cards, and cast, only rarely cross over into the continuity of the main show. These segments include Lord Bravery, a John Cleese-esque superhero voiced by Jeff Bennett from the United Kingdom in an outfit slightly resembling that of a Roman soldier. Sounds like a bad Doctor Who impression. Not the voice, but the... Just the description of Lord Bravery sounds like a bad Doctor Who impression. The Huntsman, also voiced by Jeff Bennett.
Yes, The Huntsman.
Do you like The Huntsman?
Yes. Because he was way over the top. He's like, I loved his Charlton Heston-ish character.
Did he use? Did he have a weapon?
I think he was supposed to be like Green Arrow. Like a direct parody.
Well, as soon as you said over the top, you know what the first thing I thought of, sadly? Going back to our tap days. And
yes.
Forsooth, I am Angry Acha!
Yes, that's, yeah, except this one's so much cooler. He was so angry at every scene that he was in, too.
Yeah, that's awesome. The Lawn Gnomes, a group of lawn statuary that come to life in a night parody of the Gargoyles animated series. Infamous for their mischief, they were cursed to become stone by day. Oh, wow. They did a Gargoyles parody.
Oh, it gets better.
Wait a second. A powerful wizard, after they played a prank on him and after they attacked his brother Eric the Large, they would revert at night, during which time they were given the opportunity to mend their ways to fight evil alongside mankind, after which the curse would be lifted. They have yet to do so to this day. So essentially, it was My Name is Earl before My Name is Earl was what it is. It's like a combination of Gargoyles and My Name is Earl, because the whole point of that show, My Name is Earl, starring Jason Lee, was he is trying to make up for all the past mistakes he made.
I'll take your word for it.
Yeah, Toby Danger.
Toby.
Oh God. Any thoughts on Toby Danger?
I don't really remember that too much, but I don't know why. But
and the last mini segment was Fat Man and Boy Blubber: The Misadventures of Two Morbidly Obese Superheroes in a Parody of that. The Batman TV series. Only segment involves them saving a boy being bullied about his weight, only to unintentionally bully him themselves when they try to take a sweet bun in his in his lunchbox to prevent him from getting fatter.
As he practically only eats sweet buns. And Fat Man makes an appearance during Hero Boy, where it is revealed in the episode, is also a storybook being read by Fat Man to children.
Oh my God.
It did Fat Man, like, you know, but a parody in the 60s.
God, yes.
It was great.
Oh my God. Yeah. So getting into some background here, as we've said before, Dexter can change into and out of Freakazoid at will with the words Freak Out and Freak In. When not in Freakazoid mode, Dexter looks and acts completely normal, and his family is unaware that anything has happened to him. Freakazoid spends his time in an area of Dexter's brain called the Freak Zone, where he reflects, has profound thoughts, and watches reruns of The Rat Patrol. Oh my God.
He has a Freak-a-Lair.
Freak-a-Lair! That's
awesome. A parody of the Batcave.
Yes.
And then he's got a hall of nifty things to know.
Oh my god. That's nuts.
His greatest weakness.
Yes.
Is that he can be imprisoned in a cage with graphite bars charged with negative ions.
Oh my god.
He also expresses a great aversion to poo gas. I remember this. Because he always says poo gas. And, like, stops. They even use poo gas a couple times on him.
Oh my god. Okay. Getting into some controversy because apparently. Huh?
What? I'm just laughing.
Well, apparently there's some controversy with Mike Allred's Madman. The show and its lead character have been criticized as being plagiarism of the comic book Madman by the creator of Madman, Mike Allred. Both titular characters share several personality traits and, according to Allred, wear similar costumes, both featuring the chest emblem and exclamation mark. Of an exclamation mark, though Freakazoid's logo adds his initial F before the exclamation mark. During the short run of the show, Allred remained relatively silent on the subject. However, in 2003, he responded to a question about the show on a message board of his official website. Show creator Bruce Timm was kind enough to tell me that Madman was a direct inspiration for the show, which comics open referred to when developing the show. Stupidly, I was flattered, happy to inspire anything, but when the show came out, with no acknowledgement or credit of any kind of compensation, I slowly became annoyed as everyone and their uncle confronted me with, "There's this cartoon that's ripping off Madman, and you ought to sue." I simply wrote a friendly letter to show producer Steven Spielberg, telling them this production was a direct lift of my creation. I had no intention of creating ripples, I just wanted him to know that I knew. No one replied, which is fine, and to be honest, Madman is an amalgam of half a dozen other influences, so who am I to complain? The exclamation mark on the chest is still kind of irks me a little, though. Still too close for comfort. You know what, dude?
Boo-hoo.
Get over it.
Boo-hoo.
I mean, you know, the same thing could be said for the DC Animated Universe. You know, ripping off Batman comic storylines. You know, I mean, that's, you know, anything is a
copy. Anything worth doing is a copy of something else.
Right, exactly. I mean, it's not a direct copy, obviously. But, I mean, you know, inspiration is everywhere, so. You want to talk about some of the humor in the show?
Yes. It relied heavily on slapstick parody and pop cultural references. Due to the series being metafiction, much of the series was self-aware, i.e. breaking the fourth wall, for instance. After the first appearance of the Freakmobile, the show goes immediately into an impromptu commercial for a toy version, and later in the episode, Freakazoid addresses an audience congratulating the staff on how hard they have worked to make the show toyetic. A typically strange running gag involves a repeated credit for Wina Mercator as the Hopping Woman. Though no such character appears in any episode, her credit is usually preceded by a number of other fictional names and followed by a fictional director. This show also incorporated humor aimed at the then-newly founded WB network, such as questioning the meaning of the initials WB, example, Weird Butt, or Wet Bananas instead of Warner Brothers. In addition to this, Freakazoid also made frequent use of stock footage, including the peaceful scene of a field of flowers called Relaxovision, which they used when, well, they wanted you to pretend to relax during a scene of the show. They would just interrupt it all of a sudden. They'd say Relaxovision, and then, of course, there would be another one called Screamovision, with, you know, traditionally dressed Bavarians dancing and slapping each other. A man being shot in the belly with a cannonball, and a man wrestling a bear.
Yes.
But yes, there was also cameos in the show, such as Pinky and the Brain, the Animaniacs, an insinuation appearance of the Batman from Bruce Timm's animated version, which has similar drawing style.
Yes. This show, Freakazoid, actually was created by Bruce Timm. he left the show because Spielberg was looking to make a more comedic superhero. Like, Bruce Timm wanted this show to be a serious superhero show. He didn't want it to be the comedy gold that it is. So he left. After Timm left the series, Tom Ruger, who developed Spielberg's series Tinytoon Adventures and Animaniacs, was brought in to redevelop the series Timm had created from the ground up. Ruger's version of the series used some of Timm's designs and concepts, but Timm said that the series was radically altered to become the comedy series that it was more to Spielberg's liking. You know, you're going to have differences of opinion.
Yeah.
I guess we should get to the premiere, cancellation, and syndication part of it. It premiered on the Kids WB Saturday Morning lineup September 9th, 1995. During its run, Freakazoid came across problems of appealing to its target demographic, young children. Tom Ruger said that Freakazoid had done poorly in ratings because the audience that the series gathered was older than the target audience. Also, Freakazoid ran time slot problems. Writer John McCann said that the times of the series changed frequently. This happens to a lot of series, not just the Kids WB stuff.
Well, most of the time when a show gets canceled, it's because the studio or the station decided to put it on a shit time slot, and that's what kills it.
Yep. Getting into the music of the series, the music for Freakazoid was written by supervising composer Richard Stone and his team, consisting of Steve Bernstein and Julie Bernstein, Gordon Goodwin, and Timm Kelly. Stone won a Daytime Emmy with lyricist and senior producer Tom Ruger for the main title song in 1996. Julie Bernstein was nominated for a Daytime Emmy for Outstanding Original Song in 1998 for the song Invisibo from the episode Freak-a-Panel. The theme song for this is very catchy.
I love this theme song.
It's one of the better 90s animated show theme songs. Any other thoughts on the overall music of this? Is the music, like, when you were watching this, not only now but as a kid when you were watching it, did the music catch you at all?
Oh yeah, it definitely catches you. I mean, because it also goes along with the spoofs that it's playing in the show. So I mean, it was very entertaining. I mean, and just like I said earlier with the Relaxovision, it would play some kind of a calming, like either sea music, or they'd play some kind of a, you know, upbeat kind of calm music. So, and then with the screaming one, they would just be all kinds of like pots and pans, and you know, all the screaming and somebody getting hit, and you know, just stuff like that. So I mean, everything sound wise or music wise would pull you in further into the scene.
So, Screamovision, would you say it's the same thing as the word of the day?
Very, very similar. Very similar.
Getting into the legacy of Freakazoid, it never had its own comic book, but he did make a special guest crossover in issue number 35 of the Animaniacs comic published by DC Comics. And as Steve mentioned earlier, Warner Brothers has released the entire series on DVD in Region 1, Season 1. Has 14 episodes, was released on July 29th, 2008. Audio commentary on three key episodes, promos from the series launch, and feature it tracking the evolution of the show from action series to comedy series. Season 2 has the remaining 11 episodes. It was released April 21st, 2009. Featurettes on the making of the last episode, favorite moments from the series, and original demo tape for the song Bonjour Lobby, from the series composer Richard Stone. So yes, if anybody wants to donate to me these two DVDs, tf2andmike@gmail.com.
And I still need the second season, so... Steve,
feedback at geekcastradio.com. Send us donations, damn it. No, from what I watched on YouTube, these aren't my final thoughts because we're going to have a break here in a second, but from what I was able to catch on YouTube, this... is a series now that I think I could appreciate the humor.
It's definitely one of those shows that you have to be older. Just like with Pinky and the Brain, there's certain things I never caught as a kid, but watching it now, it's hilarious because I understand the either political or pop culture references that it's hitting.
Yeah.
And, I mean, you even have Bill Clinton and Hillary Clinton in this show.
Yes.
because Dexter Douglas lives in Washington, D.C.
Yes.
So it's very fitting.
Tooncast will be back after these messages.
Hey, Chuck.
Hey, what's up, Ryan?
You know how we talked about doing a podcast? Well, I have some ideas run past you.
Yeah, what do you got?
I thought we should base it on comics.
Well, there's thousands of podcasts about comics. You kind of want to narrow it down a bit.
Well, what about Star Wars?
Still, there's a ton of those out there. What else you got?
We could always do G.I. Joe comics.
There's still a ton of those out there.
What about the 80s franchises?
There's already a few of those as well.
Then let's forget about comics. Let's focus on toys and action figures.
Dude, then we're back to thousands of podcasts.
Well, is anyone covering all those things I mentioned in one podcast?
No one would be crazy enough to do that.
Then that's what we'll do.
Are you serious?
Yep. Come and listen to Star Joe's podcast. You can find us at starjoes.com or find us on iTunes.
Yeah, we cover comics, TV shows, and movies based on Star Wars, G.I. Joe, and all your 80s favorite franchises.
And don't forget about the toys.
How can we forget about the toys? We also do tour reviews to help you decide what to add to your collection.
So come listen to Star Joe's, where we hold nothing back, provide quality entertainment, and remember, the Force will be with you.
Because knowing us is half the battle.
Yo, Joe!
Do you like retro shows? Did you grow up in either the 80s or the 90s? Then tune into Telecast, GeekCastRadio.com's newest podcast. Join us here on the Telecast as we revisit some of your favorite shows, such as Clarissa Explains It All, Salute Your Shorts, Saved by the Bell, and much, much more, only on GeekCastRadio.com.
2012 marks the 30th anniversary for Masters of the Universe. We here at the GCRN are celebrating with a brand new series of podcasts. The Powers of Grayskull series will cover every episode of every MOTU cartoon. Yes, even that crappy New Adventure stuff. Join Optimus Solo and TFU and Mike as they tell tales of Eternia, discover the myths of Etheria, become masters in space, and finally masters of Grayskull. You can find the Pogs podcasts in iTunes and the web at www.geekcastradio.com. Good journey!
You can now hear the Geekcast Radio Network while on the go with Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher is a free use and talk mobile app available for your smartphone. And when you download Stitcher to hear Geekcast Radio, you'll have a chance to win money. Downloading is quick and easy. Just find Stitcher in the App Store. During registration, hit the promo code box and enter Geekcast Radio, all one word, to get automatically entered to win $100. The latest episodes of the shows will be waiting for you and your favorites. You'll get access to lots of other amazing shows too. Always available to you on demand, no syncing. It's Stitcher Smart Radio. Don't forget to enter promo code Geekcast Radio when you register.
Now back to Geekcast.
So, final thoughts on Freakazoid, sir?
I definitely love this show quite a bit. I can't say anything more than you have to watch this. This show is so funny. And it's if you love any kind of superheroes, I mean, it's, they've even got direct knockoff of kind of like the, it looks like almost like a Solomon Grundy Hulk. And then you've got, you know, Freakazoid. And then you've got, I mean, there's just so many different references throughout the show and so many great voice actors that it's just, it's hard to pass up. I can still watch this to this day and not get bored with it.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah, I really want to check this series out now. It's probably going to be something I do in my spare time if I ever get a hold of the DVDs. But it sounds like I would really enjoy it now. Whereas when I was a kid, I just was like, ugh. I don't know. Like I said before, fucked up childhood. But anyway. Thank you for joining us here on Tooncast Beyond. There are several ways to get in contact with us or leave feedback for the show. Visit the website, geekcastradio.com. You can comment on every single post that we make. We will interact with you there. You can send us feedback at geekcastradio.com. Leave the show's feedback in iTunes. Please do this. Follow us on Twitter. The show name there is Tooncast Beyond. You can also follow at Geekcast Radio for all the major site and network updates. Mine is TFG on Mike. What is your Twitter?
SCP-21.
Become a fan on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/GeekcastRadioNetwork. I believe we're either right there or we just hit over 350 fans, so thank you to all of you. Call the voicemail line, tell us your story, leave me a message for, and your name, 502-526-5821. If you have your own USB headset or microphone on your computer, go to the website. There is a button on the right-hand side that says send voicemail now. You can record it directly from your computer. We hope you enjoyed this trip back in time here on TuneCast Beyond, and wish you'll join us next time when we'll be once again jumping into the DeLorean for more DeLorean time with Mr. Magoo. For now, I am TFG1 Mike with
Steve Megatron Phillips.
Freak out!
Oh, freak out!
And now here they are, the most daredevil group of daddy drivers to ever whirl their wheels in the wacky races. Competing for the title of the world's wackiest racer. Cars are approaching the starting line. First is the Turbo Terrific, driven by Peter Perfect. Next, Rufus Roughcut and Sawtooth in the Buzz Wagon. Maneuvering for position is the Army Surplus Special. Right behind is the Ant Hill Mob in their bulletproof bomb. And there's ingenious inventor, Pat Pending, in his converter car. Oh, and here's the lovely Penelope Pitstop, the glamour gal of the gas pedal. Next, we have the Bowlermobile with the Swag Brothers, Rock and Gravel. Lurching along is the Creepy Coupe with the Gruesome Twosome, and right on their tail is the Red Max. And there's the Arkansas Chugabug with Luke and Blubber Bear. Sneaking along last is that mean machine with those double-dealing do-batters, Dick Dastardly and his sidekick, Muttley. And even now, they're up to some dirty trick, and they're off to a standing start. And why not? They've been chained to a post by Shifty Dick Dastardly, who shifts into the wrong gear. And away they go on the way out wacky races.